This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Monday, July 15th, 2013. We lead off with KVNF's Travis Bubenik, who has an update for us on West Nile virus in Delta County.
On Friday, the Delta County Department of Health and Human Services announced that West Nile virus has been detected in the county. They found three samples of mosquitoes from a trap outside of Delta that did test positive for the disease. And of course, there was that earlier confirmed case of West Nile fever found in a Delta area resident earlier this month. A press release from Bonnie Coyler, who's the county's health officer, said West Nile season is at its peak right now. So the county's urging the public to take whatever steps they can to avoid mosquitoes and stay safe, especially in the morning and evenings. I talked to Ken Nordstrom on Friday. He's the county's environmental health director, and he offered some tips for keeping safe this season, including the county's 4Ds approach to West Nile safety.
Whatever works for you, avoid being bitten by mosquitoes. The risk of transmission is light, but you don't want to get this disease, especially if you're over 50 years old, because it can be very severe. The 4Ds are drain standing water where in your own property. Dress appropriately during times when you're out and mosquitoes are present, with long sleeve, lightweight shirts, long pants to keep from being bitten by mosquitoes. Dusk and dawn, remember that dusk and dawn are the most active times for mosquitoes. DEET, use insect repellent. And, you know, the other thing is that make sure the screens on your house are tightly fitting screens if you keep your windows open at night, so mosquitoes aren't attracted into the house at night.
So Nordstrom also told me that it's still too early to tell how this West Nile season is going to play out. He did say mosquito populations have so far taken longer than last year to develop, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there will be fewer mosquitoes in the long run. So definitely time to start thinking about West Nile when you're out in the morning or evening, and keep safe the best you can. And just as a reminder, symptoms of West Nile in humans include aches and pains, nausea, and eye pains. And according to Nordstrom, the biggest red flag is, of course, that high fever and just general exhaustion. The state has more info on the virus and some other safety tips at fightthebitecolorado.com.
According to the North Fork Merchant Herald, the town of Hotchkiss on Thursday took further steps toward banning commercial marijuana activity in the town. The Merchant Herald reports at a town council meeting on Thursday, town attorney Jim Briscoe read through a draft of the banning ordinance. The draft is set to be considered for adoption at the town's August 15th council meeting. Neighboring Crawford has meanwhile banned commercial activities already, while Paonia recently decided on a no-action approach, essentially allowing state regulations on the industry to take effect until the town decides whether to ban or regulate, or puts the issue before voters in November of 2014. The historic Paradise Theater in Paonia is set to reopen thanks to a combined effort from the Paonia Chamber of Commerce and a group of concerned citizens known as Friends of the Paradise Theater. The chamber assumed management of the theater after the former owner's lease expired. Chamber President Alexis Halbert said the theater is vital to Paonia's economy as it helps support local businesses and attracts tourists to the area. She also claimed that keeping the theater open is, quote, at the heart of the town's new designation as a certified creative district. The groundwork for a schedule of programs has been laid and is still being worked on, with members from Pickin Productions, the Paonia Players, North Fork Heart and Soul, and other area groups collaborating to host music, art shows, a classic film series, and more. The Paradise will also help host the Mountain Harvest Festival in September. A fundraiser for the theater featuring local DJs is expected for sometime at the end of July. The Colorado Statesman reports that some state lawmakers are returning to Denver to begin summer interim committee meetings, with poverty being the first issue on the table. A 10-member committee originally organized in 2009 will be the first to meet and will deal with issues like housing, job creation, poverty, and benefits management. The committee will be looking at 8 bills concerning those issues that were signed into law in 2010. According to the Statesman, that committee's inaugural meeting earlier this month was attended by a variety of stakeholders and included discussions on topics like the state's public housing ventures. The Economic Opportunity Poverty Reduction Task Force, as the committee is known, approved four subcommittees that will address the effectiveness of public-private partnerships, early childhood education, continuing public housing options, and workforce readiness and development. The task force is set to meet on July 29th. The Statesman also reports that a group of 26 craft brewers from across the state sent a letter to Governor John Hickenlooper expressing their concerns about the environmental impacts of oil and gas development. The brewers' letter reportedly cited fears about oil and gas activities' effect on the craft beer industry, since breweries rely on fresh water for their operations. According to the Statesman, the situation is somewhat of a conflict for the governor himself. Hickenlooper co-founded Wynkoop Brewing in 1988 and has been a friend to the industry ever since. The industry is a source of many of the governor's biggest supporters. However, Hickenlooper also worked as a geologist for the oil and gas industry before his move into brewing. The Statesman reports the brewers' environmental concerns focus primarily on fracking, with its alleged potential to contaminate groundwater supplies on which the industry relies. The letter also highlights the craft brewing industry's financial impact on the state, claiming it's created nearly 6,000 jobs and pumped $446 million into the economy. Meanwhile, the state of Colorado has joined a lawsuit aimed at lifting a ban on fracking passed by a citizen initiative in the city of Longmont. The Colorado Independent reports the state's Oil and Gas Conservation Commission last week entered the lawsuit, which was filed by various oil and gas companies in the state. According to the Independent, this is the second lawsuit the state has joined against the city over limits on fracking. Some, like Sam Shaebaker of Food and Water Watch, said the state's joining the lawsuit went against previous comments from the governor. Shaebaker claimed Hickenlooper had previously promised the state wouldn't sue the city over the fracking ban. However, the state in this instance did not initiate the lawsuit, and Hickenlooper had stated in December that though it wouldn't institute lawsuits itself, it would support companies that decided to do so. The Independent reports that the governor has previously opposed attempts by localities to regulate oil and gas development, saying the state rulings should prevail in deciding how the industry's practices are managed. Hickenlooper has also claimed that an assortment of local regulations would create a confusing network of laws for the industry and ultimately hinder its activities. The governor has previously opposed attempts by state lawmakers to pass stricter regulations on fracking as well. Around 60% of voters in Longmont approved the city's fracking ban last year, spurred by health concerns and the fear that property values would drop as the industry entered residential areas. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.